Welcome to Procedurally Generated. I'm Tom Schreier. John Carson in studio, Max Hamilton. What are we missing, guys?
Apparently, Henry thinks that Star Wars is more important than doing his job.
It is. Let's be honest.
Do you guys want to be at Star Wars right now, though?
Yes.
So we're going to punish Henry on this podcast.
Only if it's better than the prequels.
I've heard it's good. You guys, we're not spoiling anything. Sure. We haven't seen anything, but I've heard the reviews are really positive on this movie.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes had, I think yesterday it had it at like a 94%. Yeah. So that's pretty good.
It's like 97% 2 hours ago.
Is
well,
it?
Who's this talking
we
Tom?
Need it. We
you
need
to introduce everybody.
No, this is your introduction.
Henry's been replaced by a girl, everybody.
Yep. No, this is true. Callie, can
it's
you give
ladies
us an intro?
Night.
Little intro, say something.
I'm Callie. I won't have a whole lot to contribute.
And she plays video games.
This is why she's better than Henry. Henry talks too much. He's anti-microtransaction. We're all
Henry is very opinionated.
Yeah, we're all pro-transaction. We're all pro-console.
Pro-every transaction. I just love swiping credit cards.
Throw your wallets at video games, everybody.
Are we not in a capitalist society? And we're pro-console here. We are going to mess with Henry all episode long. I think starting with an article on Battlefront, just because we know Henry loves Battlefront. Max famously, probably a month ago, suggested I buy two of them.
I still like it.
Do you still like it? You still enjoy it?
I'm still playing it. And actually, Callie and I both played some co-op survival in it. And,
how was that?
Well, so she's never played really any games with needing to walk with the left analog stick and look with the right analog stick, so we're working on that. But otherwise, no, I think the game's holding up, and honestly think it's going to improve, and I have a lot
of fun.
Callie,
do you, like, look up and then spin?
Yeah.
Because that's what I did when I first played Halo. Right. Like, that's all I could do, or, like, look down at the ground and, like, try to shoot things. It was not,
eventually,
it was never looking forward.
Staying in one spot and aiming.
Okay.
That's about it. Walk a little bit.
And the enemies got good at shooting at the one spot she was standing
in.
But, I think the DLC, I'm excited to see what they do with it. I am definitely looking forward to future installments, even though this one is...
it's a little bit thin.
It's empty
right
now, but I'll happily throw another $60 at the DLC to make it not empty. So,
yeah. But how many times are you going to throw $60 at it? Would you throw like $10 a piece at it for like extra tokens for this game?
Oh, I would never do the microtransactions.
Why not?
Just doesn't
I thought
do
we were pro microtransactions
well,
now.
We are.
It's a sea change for this podcast.
I am for them in games where you have a very low cost entry.
Yeah.
If not non-existent, like Hearthstone, for example. But then if you look at Hearthstone, I've put more money into Hearthstone than I have $60 games with season passes. So
you and Trevor May, dude.
Suppose, you need to get him back on top.
We will. New Year's resolution.
Maybe for the next Hearthstone expansion. But, in honor of Star Wars, we figured we'd talk about some of our favorite Star Wars games. And I'd have to go with the Battlefront series, the classics over the
originals.
Current.
Did you ever play the PSP one?
Ooh, never did.
All right.
My brother had it, though.
What a random game.
Just a random Battlefront.
Star Wars Jedi Outcast probably is hands down my favorite. Cal Katarn.
I did just get that in a Steam sale.
Really?
I'm a fan.
Yeah, I played it on GameCube, so that's how far back that goes.
Yeah.
And I played Jedi Academy, which is kind of like the sequel or whatever to it. You create your own Jedi. Those are the kind of games I wish they brought back. Like, it was good shooting mechanics. It was fun using the lightsabers. The multiplayer was really great. The story was great. That's, I guess, what I didn't like about Battlefront, is that you get no story, and, like, Star Wars is all about, it's a movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of my
issue. You kind of have to know the battles where everything's taking place already. They don't really fill out any of the backstory for it in Battlefront.
I much preferred the games like Knights of the Old Republic that would spin off and do their own thing rather than just focus on set piece moments from the movies. Kind of like Battlefront, the newest one right now, only focuses on set piece moments and like the biggest things that everybody knows, and it's just too casual.
I wish I would have gotten into Knights of the Old Republic. I really think I would like that.
Do you have an iPad?
I do.
All right.
It's sitting right here.
It's on iPad. It's like $10.
Yeah. I might pick it up.
Go try it.
I might
get
it during
like $1 on Steam. Oh, speaking of, Steam winter sale starts next week, so get excited.
I'm excited right now.
I'm so excited right now.
I thought the Steam winter sale was the one they
Callie just laughed
for Black Friday. It's
like three excited dudes. No, but the other one we talked about was Rogue Squadron. I thought that was another one where it's actually completely different, obviously.
I hope they bring that back.
I know. That was such a good game.
Yeah, but then you'd have to get level 5 back, and they've been not a studio for a few years.
Someone else can do it. I mean, sure. Honestly, if DICE refined the flight mode that they have in Battlefront, they
it's
could
not
probably
bad.
Do something with it.
It's
I mean, it looks
pretty
good.
Yeah.
I'd play it.
I would have to say my favorite Star Wars game is Mass Effect.
We talked about this out there.
Because I think it was originally supposed to be a Star Wars game.
It's been such a good one.
Their license got pulled.
Max, you got me into it, and you had to sell me on it.
Tom,
did
I get you into every good game you've ever played?
Yeah, I still ignore advice that you give me. Absolutely.
I have to try so hard with you to get you to play games.
But no, I mean, this one's a big time commitment. I knew how long it was, and it was exactly what I wanted a Star Wars game to be. Good character interactions. Obviously, it's out in space. I don't know.
Was Mass Effect a space game, Tom?
But no, I like, it almost ruined kind of Star Wars games for me because I was like, these games are so bad compared to what Mass Effect is. And I kind of could care less that they didn't have the license or didn't have the characters.
But that's why you should go back and play Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah. Because Knights of the Old Republic, as you know, is a RPG made by BioWare.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. And it's exactly what you like from the other games, just a little less polished.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting, do you have a PC at all?
Or
one that can play anything?
No.
Okay.
I bet your Mac could do Knights of the Republic.
Yeah. I mean, no, just go download The Old Republic, and then it's free to play.
Yeah, I saw that. Because
that's the
that.
Successor to it. If you like that, then go back.
Yeah, especially the content that they just released, the expansion, it is really a return to form for their older games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other Star Wars thoughts?
Callie, do you have a favorite Star Wars game?
No.
Do you have a favorite movie? Have you seen them?
Of the Star Wars movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the originals are... Sorry. The originals are obviously much better
for
than
sure.
The new ones, but I mean, I'm banking on the one tonight to be my favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Based on what I've heard.
Better than the original?
Again, I mean, potentially.
I told John, I never watched Star Trek, and I loved the Star Trek movie.
Yep.
Absolutely loved it. So
I would agree with that.
I'm encouraged with that. I would say, real quick here for the poll, I'd say 5 is the best one. But I actually did like 6, and I didn't dislike 2 and 3 as much as other people did. Where do you guys kind of stand on that?
So I was on Polygon the other day, and I found a link to the edited versions. So this guy basically spent a significant amount of time editing the prequels, and he took all of the voice acting for Jar Jar out of the movie and dubbed it with unintelligible alien voices. And then he put in subtitles that edit what he was actually saying.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to edit a couple weird scenes between Anakin and Padme. He edited the third movie, Revenge of the Sith, to make it so basically she doesn't die because she gives up the will to live. Oh, sorry, spoilers.
Come on, 10-year-old spoilers.
But because Anakin killed her, and then he just edits out that scene where they discuss why she dies, and then he got rid of the weird Vader screaming no at the end, and bad fight scenes, bad dialogue. All the aliens have been edited, like the ones that had stupid dialogue, like the Nemoidians and the Gungans, and... Mm-hmm. He made them watchable. I watched almost the entire
I might have
Phantom
to see
Menace.
That.
So
I almost, because I actually did like the fight scene with the two lightsabers and stuff, Darth Maul and stuff. There's stuff from there that's good, and I love Podracer. I feel like they should bring.
Yeah,
that
and
back.
With I don't that's know, a game like, we didn't saw, measure, but the Darth Maul canceled game that Game Informer has been following for a little bit now.
Ooh,
it was
going to
be this huge Darth Maul. You play Darth Maul, and kind of explore his backstory. And
this was a while
amazing,
back,
and,
right?
Well, they're still working on it.
Yeah,
actually.
Oh, really?
They're just
still
hoping someone
it.
Picks it up. Yep. And it looks fantastic.
There's only one person that could, or one studio that could pick it up, and that's Disney. So,
come on, Disney. Come on, Mickey.
We want to see this.
That's funny. Any other thoughts, or should we move on to Kojima? Big
well, hey, while
here.
We're on Star Wars, let's talk about that little Google Star Wars game. So Google and really every company under the sun has been trying to link Star Wars into their product, whether it's YouTube having a lightsaber as the volume bar or Google Maps. Putting your car or replacing your car with Star Wars ships. But just the other day, and John can't stop playing, it links. So you go to a website on your computer with Google. It's a Star Wars game, and you link your phone to your computer using the website it provides you, and your phone is the lightsaber, and then the computer screen is an army of stormtroopers while you fight your way through some sort of Imperial ship.
It actually works really well.
And, it's reminiscent of the Wii controller, the remotes, and works well. It's fun. It's hard to block. I haven't figured that out yet.
Blocking lasers?
It's
the first thing they
teach
you.
There's melee combat, though, and that's hard to block.
Gotcha.
But I won by basically just poking the guy, and it looked like I was tickling him with the tip of my lightsaber. So it could use a little bit of polish, but no, it's fun and very cool just how they implement the technology.
Yeah. I thought my technique was much better, and I was just hitting him, and apparently tickling is how you win the game.
She died right away.
All right, enough Star Wars talk. We know it's big in the news, but Kojima is a huge, huge deal, I think.
Yes, this is super exciting.
Yeah, so Kojima Productions, first game will be a new IP in partnership with PlayStation, and he's also going kind of beyond video games. I mean, for you guys are bigger Metal Gear Solid fans than me.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think of this?
John?
Well, this is just huge. It was kind of random news on, Tuesday night? All of a sudden, a video drops with Andrew House from Sony just sitting there talking about Kojima. Kojima's next to him, just saying that they have a partnership now where Kojima's going to make an exclusive game for PlayStation that will later come to PC too, which came out later.
Because basically he has officially left Konami. Yep. That contract period is up and he can pursue his own interest now. And Kojima came out and said that, you know, he plans to create art for as long as he lives.
Yeah.
And for him, that's going to be movies
and video games. He looked happy.
Yeah.
Which is really, really nice to see.
Oh, he's probably very relieved to be
he's been through hell all year. So.
Do you think more will come out? Do you think this is now that he's kind of away from Kojima and stuff, we're going to hear some beef and kind of some, like, inside stuff?
I think just the culture in general, you're not going to hear anything from him.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't be surprised if you heard it from other people in the studio.
I think the studio might open up about it at some point down the road. But for now, my biggest hope is that Del Toro gets back involved with him and they somehow resurrect a horror
game. Apparently there was like an article today saying that he still wants to try to get Silent Hills back up and running. But obviously
really cool.
He doesn't have the IP But do they really need the IP to just keep doing that game?
Make a game like it.
Yeah, no, probably
spiritual
not.
Spiritual successor.
They can't do Metal Gear Solid, though,
no,
right?
No, they can't.
Right.
They can't touch any of the Konami properties.
Is this going to be good for him? Do you think that him branching beyond video games, kind of getting away maybe from a toxic environment, that we'll see kind of his best work going forward here?
Well, I think it's going to be good to just see him doing something other than Metal Gear. I mean, he's done things like Zone of the Enders and Boktai, which are kind of like his side projects. But if he's kind of let loose to do his own thing, I think everyone's going to be better for it.
Destiny continues to hustle us.
Good transition, Tom.
That was smooth as it gets.
Henry, I hope you enjoyed that one.
This is the hate, Henry. I'm doing bad transitions on purpose. Just believe me on that one.
I don't think so.
But no, I'm just terrible at transitions.
Your transitions have always been terrible.
Destiny level and subclass boost bundle is now available for $30. They gave it to you with the pack, right? You got one of those.
Well,
right?
So if you bought the Taken King expansion, you automatically got one token to boost a character of your choice up to basically the starting level of the expansion, which was 25.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, which I can't believe we didn't see this coming, they're allowing you to pay $30 to get that character boost. So basically, you're paying the price of the game to completely boost your character for no... you're cutting corners. You're skipping gameplay to get to something you can easily achieve within a handful of hours of your own gameplay
time. It's stuff that we've seen with other games like World of Warcraft. They have a boost to
the biggest level is. Console is actually Battlefield.
Okay.
Because they have the... I don't know how much of it you played, but it was very prevalent with Battlefield 4 and I think 3, but basically... you could pay to instantly level all your characters and experience and just have everything unlocked and available for you, which is nice in a game, especially 4 wasn't as bad as the other ones, but there was just a ton of content to unlock in those games.
Right.
But then the issue, I mean, now Black Ops 3 is following suit, and it's like, why, you know, where do you draw the line between putting in that gameplay time and playing a game versus like, oh, I paid this just to be where you're at
More sense for Destiny since there's already been, well, we had Destiny last year, we had the expansions this year, where there's like maybe some stuff that people don't want to play and they just want to catch up to where their friends are.
I suppose it's a shortcut to the new content.
Right, but Black Ops 3, it's a brand new game. Everyone's basically on the same playing field already. Why is it
But for $30, that is steep to you're getting nothing for that.
Yeah, really. It's really just paying for your time. Like what's important to you? Do you want to spend that time leveling up
money.
Your character?
Well, I mean, think of like you're playing the game, doing it. It's not like it's going to be unless it's you're doing multiple character runs. It's
right.
Isn't this not too hard to get to that level?
Isn't this them just admitting that the first game was so bad? Like once you play the second part, you're gonna be like, oh, this is way better than that.
Like
first
fixed a lot of that stuff just by adding like their quest lists and stuff like that. But
yeah. I don't know. Somehow I'm going to transition from that to the Nintendo NX controller patent. This is actually kind of cool.
That was a beautiful transition.
Hey, I'm just admitting my transition suck. We miss you, Henry. We love you. We're just joking. But we do love microtransactions. Just talked about them. Now we're talking about the patent for the NX controller. This is basically just a screen, right? It's kind of hard to tell.
I was just going to say with Destiny, Game Informer made a good point saying that depending on how exactly it works, you may not have the gear to continue to boost your light level. You're still going to have to do some serious grinding because think of how much stuff you have by the time you reach 25. Well, starting 25 fresh with entry-level gear is going to be brutal.
No, they give you gear with the Spark of Light, though, don't they?
I believe so.
They did when I used the one that
okay.
went so, with it.
But also, like this... Like that, the boost also gives you weapon upgrade boosts.
Yeah.
So your weapons will upgrade faster. You'll get more strength from that. It's still going to be a grind to get to 40 and raid ready.
I mean, that's basically what I did. I had one character. I was already at 22 or something like that, and I went to 25 with the other one. And, it takes a while. It's not as bad as you'd think.
Right.
Yeah. So I jumped the gun on that transition. We want to talk about this controller, patent for an NX controller that has... it's basically a touchscreen. Just looking at the graphic, it's like some little guy, and it looks like you kind of use your thumbs without analog sticks, right?
I believe there's actually buttons underneath the thumbs.
Okay.
This all comes from, I believe it was Sharp last year, had a patent for a display technology where it doesn't have to be one continuous screen. You can actually have like cutouts and stuff in it, and everything will still work. So Nintendo was interested in it. It looks like they're filing a patent to use it potentially on the NX.
Right, which we're supposed to have some news about in 2016, if not an actual launch.
Is this them overthinking it a little bit? I feel like, I like the idea of kind of screen that looked like a smartphone, but it's not like everyone went out and bought a Wii U.
I guess, the one thing I don't like about playing games on smartphones, though, is I don't have physical buttons. So,
yeah. So I honestly, though... That was my hang-up initially, but since a lot of games have started to refine that on the smartphone, I really don't mind it. Like, the first one that comes to mind, I thought that Bastion was going to be terrible on a smartphone, and I actually really enjoy it on it. For sure would pick a controller over it, but for a portable game, it's actually working pretty fantastic. And it makes me think of, like, the Wii. Everyone thought that was going to be kind of weird and stupid and maybe not be huge fans of the Wii remotes. And that's my initial feeling with this controller, depending on how accurate it actually is. It works with their gamepad on the Wii U, that the dual screen and just having a smaller, more portable version of it. Because that was my big issue with the Wii U, is that it was such a huge thing to have to hold in your hand.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like if they have technology like this, it'll put them, maybe give them some attention, bring them on par, because they always seem behind kind of the Xbox and where PlayStation is just in terms of graphics, online capabilities, stuff like that. On the flip side, I guess if you really butcher this, it just seems like I just remember a time, obviously when N64 was kind of the thing. And I feel like since GameCube, they really have kind of taken a step back, where now obviously Sony and Xbox and the PC are your big. Your big three. So, I don't know. It's cool. They also might not use it, right? It could be a special controller.
Well, this companies file patents all the time. It doesn't mean that they're actively pursuing something. They're just protecting their IP. So, this seems more plausible than other patents that have surfaced. It certainly seems like a Nintendo thing to do.
Yeah, it's absolutely a Nintendo thing.
It seems really unnecessary, though. I mean, if, like you said, if they should focus on the graphics or something that's more necessary with the money, why is this happening?
I mean, Nintendo in general is a little bit more focused on handheld stuff. So, like, their 3DS is hugely successful, but their Wii U is not selling as well.
So, why, when you can download that free program, though, that uses, you can use your phone as a lightsaber. Why not just have a 3DS as your controller and have the option of that? You know what I mean? Sometimes I think they overthink it.
That's kind of like the rumor going around that the NX is some sort of portable device that hooks up with the TV, kind of like the gamepad does with the Wii U.
Yeah.
And then all the horsepower would actually be in the handheld itself.
Yeah.
Which I would like a lot because I love using my 3DS like all the time and having to have my – or like when I go to play my Wii U – I'm usually playing it on the gamepad anyways. So I'm not even using the TV.
I don't know. Nintendo wants to really stay competitive in the console space, it needs to have, one, a system with comparable graphics, and two, they need to have those third-party games on there or really push their first-party IP.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's a bummer as someone who's a big fan of Nintendo, kind of seeing it drift away.
Poor Tom.
I know, it's tough. It's soul-crushing.
I'm with you, Tom.
Woohoo! That's why we're replacing Henry with you.
That's a good Mario impression.
Henry likes Mario Maker.
Yeah, that's true. Mario. And actually, which uses the Wii U very well. But anyways, moving from something that's soul-crushing for me to something that probably doesn't crush my soul.
We're working on it.
I'm coming around, man. EA announces competitive gaming division with Peter Moore at its head. I guess, what's your initial thoughts here? I don't know.
I'm not surprised that EA is jumping in on the latest way to grab some cash. I mean, of all the companies, it makes the most sense for them to get involved, finally.
Well, they do have a lot of games that would work with this.
Yeah,
all
no,
their,
they,
all their
they
sports
absolutely
titles,
do. So,
Battlefield, if they would bring back Command & Conquer, that would kind of fit the whole MOBA or RTS
no, that actually
side
would.
Of things. But I doubt they'll bring that back.
So do you see this as kind of like them riding someone else's coattails and trying to make a splash of it? Or do you think they all actually...
I think it's something
innovate?
No one's asking for.
Okay.
I guess you already have the scene pretty full and you have all the games and everything that are being played in the esports scene. So I guess my question is, are they going to focus on like sponsoring teams and hosting events, or are they going to try to create new games specific to try to get them into like esports, like those new IPs?
There seems like a lot of money in it, though, if you get cable behind it. There's so many players. I mean, I understand why they're going to do it. The thing is, though, you get the dedicated players, you're going to realize if the quality's down or it's bad or something like that.
Sure.
So we'll see how that works out. Go ahead.
A lot of the competitive scenes, like especially for fighting games, there was for a while all the like Street Fighter players really wanted Capcom support for their tournaments, but they weren't like fronting money for prize pools or anything like that. So I'm sure like Madden players, NHL players, they want that same kind of support.
Right,
I'm sure that's what this is going to get them.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're helping organize events now. They're probably throwing down some money for the top players. It's probably really good for that scene, whether EA is going to make money off of it or not. We'll see.
Yeah. Sticking in the esports realm here, Riot Games is now owned entirely by Tencent. Is the issue here, are you worried about quality going down? I'm kind of new to the esports scene. What is the big deal here?
Riot was mostly owned by Tencent. Tencent's, I'm just going to verify this real quick.
They had 70%.
Okay.
Of Riot Games stock.
Yep. Okay.
And so they just decided to buy out the rest of it. So the biggest thing is they're going to be getting all that money. I wonder if it's going to change League at all, but I really don't foresee it bringing major upsets because, they already have the huge player base and everyone loves it. If they change it, they're going to lose that player base and the revenue goes down.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just seems like if it's not broken, don't fix it. Right.
Right. I mean, honestly, it's purely a financial move, I believe. I feel like they just figured, well, let's grab the rest of the company, get that money we're missing out on. And they also do have a stake in Epic and Activision.
Oh, that's right. Blizzard. Yeah, they did.
Invest in that as well. So, and apparently, per Polygon, they are the Chinese distributor of Candy Crush. So they just like to get the games to the audiences where they know they're going to make some bank.
Now, they say, who posted? Was this you, Max, who posted the article? They said, this is one of many changes the company announced of late. Major changes are coming to League of Legends in 2016. The company deal.
I think those are changes that have already been in the works. So, like content updates.
Yeah, that was like the change to like all the range classes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because really, I mean, a financial backer is going to have, I mean, even if they're now the owner, really isn't going to change a successful product. As long as it's working, they're not going to care.
I'm sure we might see more League of Legends offshoots than anything. Yeah. Than changing the core game. I think Riot's kind of in full control of that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be worried about them owning 30% more than they did before because they already had a pretty big control.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Jared Polis, I think that's how you say it. Community congressman, that's how he represents himself. Guy from Colorado, big League of Legends.
Speaking of League of Legends.
Yeah, big League of Legends fan. He'll be
upset.
The
transition was there, Tom. The transition was there.
It was there. I worked my way back to it somewhere. Some way, somehow. But basically, he had a promo for League of Legends. The issue here is kind of like, you know, do you want to separate church and state a little bit? And he
compares his League of Legends, his love for that, I guess, to his congressional service. And he was speaking out against SOPA, the Stop Online Piracy Act. And basically, the concern here was that he was using taxpayer dollars to take a personal stance or promote a product.
Yeah.
And so there was a quite the investigation done, and they found that really it was, you know, not an issue, and he was basically, all the claims or charges were dropped. But what do you guys think about this? I mean, should a politician be able to be actively involved in a community for a passion or hobby
of
their choice?
Absolutely. I mean, as long as they're not spending taxpayer dollars on promoting something for them or
microtransactions
or like being paid under the table by someone.
Yeah.
Like, sure, that's fine. Obviously it's a fictional thing, but if you ever watch like House of Cards, Frank Underwood's like a big Call of Duty player.
Oh right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, and I think that's
well,
cool.
In
it's
the
humanizing.
Third season he actually started playing Monuments, which actually
or Monument
me
Valley
I wanted to play. Or yeah, Monument Valley. So yep. I picked it up because of that. So
did you?
It works.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I mean,
I really enjoyed it.
The positive I see here is you always see politicians out at, you know, community events or sporting events or whatever. This is a way for him to genuinely, if he wants to, you know, communicate with people who he wants to vote for him.
Yeah. Right. Well, he even says like he likes the community and he uses it as a platform to reach constituents, and it doesn't sound phony at all. Like he's just pretending to be into it. And mm-hmm. He's an active member and plays it all the time. And
apparently like on their forums, he's like his name on there is actually like his position
his
and his real name.
He puts the seal, right? Like the congressional seal or whatever on there.
Yep.
Yes.
But it's too bad because the government lately has had skewed views of video games and violence, and with all the studies and recent, I suppose it hasn't been too recent with, this year's shootings, but like last year with some of the shootings, they were linking a lot of things to video games, and I feel like there's just kind of a hunt to link it.
I think it's a nice little precedent that someone can be active with the community now when it pertains to video games and not have to be looked down upon for it, or like I think it's a fair investigation that they did this. But like it might not have to be necessary from here on forward.
I mean, I think the line is where, I mean, it says he was actually combating a specific bill.
Yeah.
I think that's I think that's where the line is, where, you know, if it wasn't his own time, like you guys are talking about, that's totally fine. But when he's debating a specific bill with, what is it, Riot Games?
Yep.
Then that's where the like suspicion comes
in. Yes,
yes. Yeah, because it's Stop Online Piracy Act, and he is against this, right? Because it deals with censorship, and mm-hmm.
Politics is all about opinion. He can have that opinion and argue it, but if it's actually going to help Riot Games make money,
right?
Yeah,
right. Then it's a huge issue.
When Tencent just dumps money into a super PAC, you go, "Well, hey, what's going on here?"
They have Candy Crush. They don't need any more super PACs.
Activision sued for patent infringement over fantasy sports software.
I might have to turn this to you for this one.
You posted this, right, Max?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so they're being sued for possible patent infringement. It has to deal with fantasy sports, which, because I'm in that realm, I know this is a big deal, obviously, with DraftKings, FanDuel, stuff like that. There is a lot of money in it. What they were doing, Max, do you understand this? I was trying to kind of read through the legal jargon of it, but basically they created a program, I think, for adapting fantasy like lines into the into the sports games? I'm not entirely sure here.
Well, basically, the tech in some of these games is similar to things being used in the fantasy sports realm. There has been a couple updates brought out, though. So this company has also filed suit against Electronic Arts, Zynga, Take-Two Interactive, and Konami, alleging the same infringements, and I'm quoting that from Polygon. To me, it really just sounds like a grasp for whatever cash they can, because there's no way that all these companies are banding together to use the exact same tech.
It was because they were getting almost real-time stats into the game, right?
More or less, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Which I understand they said $27 billion industry, and kind of with the power and reach they have. I mean, they could do something with fantasy sports that is very lucrative. I just feel like this is kind of a hot button issue right now, too, right? With, you know, DraftKings and FanDuel getting shut down.
And certainly, like, these companies have looked at breaking into that market, but for the most part, esports is where their focus is right now. And I mean, really, with how varying state laws are, I suppose, it's pretty hard to get into the esports because it's gambling, really, is how a lot of look at it. Or not esports, I'm sorry, but the fantasy sports.
Fantasy sports, like, for sure, is gambling.
Yeah, so.
And DraftKings is.
Is it just New York where DraftKings is now?
I think it's Las Vegas.
No, Nevada recognizes it as a game, like a gambling game, basically, as opposed to a game of skill, which is meaningful. Like, literally, you can't place bets in Nevada. Moving on here, we have Valve admits a controversial Counter-Strike change.
Yeah, so update to the one-shot multiple kill revolver that was released in Counter-Strike. It sounds like they finally reverted to the previous patch, or at least replaced the gun and nerfed it. So Valve straight up came out and said they admitted they made a mistake and pissed off a lot of people, and they're working on kind of finding a common ground solution where that gun won't be as powerful. And they really, what they need to do, I mean, do you guys play Counter-Strike at all?
No.
I just dabble, certainly not competitive or play a lot. But
is that true, Callie?
Top 100 North America?
Yeah. I've never heard of this game before.
Okay,
so really
that's true.
But, yeah, so it's, you know, if it's not balanced, it's not fun, because basically every gun is accessible to every player, but only the best players are going to be able to, you know, get kills, rack up money, and get the good gun. So almost every, as much as everybody hated this gun, it was being exclusively used because of how good it was, and it was a cheap entry level weapon. But yeah, hopefully what they need to do is just find a way to test their patches, or for sure at least new weapons and items, before just throwing it into a competitive league, because that throws off what all the teams and events are doing if they're all playing on that same patch.
Makes sense. We'll talk. You guys want to talk a little bit delays below and Fable Legends?
I'm really sad about this below delay.
Right? Like, I was excited about below.
I've been staying pretty dark on it. I've seen a couple videos for it. I don't know if they're really releasing that much information on it either.
No, they're not. No one really knows much about the game, although Xbox has been touting it for the last couple of years as, like, this amazing exclusive, and they can't tell us about it.
Yep. So they announced it back in 2013. It was supposed to be out in 2014. Didn't happen. Supposed to be out this year. Did not happen.
It's like the Darth Maul game. We'll see it in like 15 years.
Yep.
Yeah,
they're secretly working on it still.
I worry about this, though, because Duke Nukem was supposed to be a big title, right? And that was 20 years ago.
Right.
Or something.
I hope it's not like a sleeper release that they hope people forget about. No. So the Wii U just released Devil's Third. And months and months ago, it was being touted as this amazing third-party game that was finally just coming exclusively to the U, or the Wii U. And it was going to be a ton of fun.
We should just call it the U from now on.
Right?
That's all you. It's all about the U.
There we go. It's the U. Trademark that, Tom. Get on it.
Miami football game.
Yeah, so it released the other day without any fanfare, no advertisements, no deals, just secret, quiet, swept under the rug. It is absolutely terrible, and I haven't even seen reviews. I've seen some test videos and things. And
I heard reviews from, like, when it came out in Japan a few months ago that were just the worst. Like, it's supposed to be really, really bad. And then I thought I heard that Nintendo just, like, secretly canceled it for North America.
Yeah, and then they just, like, just somehow just leaked it out. But
it's supposedly, the premise, super rare. No.
Yeah, it's worth some money, I'm sure, if you can find a physical copy, if you actually want to pay for it or play it. But the premise is basically you are a man covered in tattoos, which tell a story about him, and he has swords that he can throw at people and guns, and I think it's set in the U.S. You're some sort of special operative. Yeah,
based off your life.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And I'm getting royalties for this. But he basically is some soldier in a torn-apart future America, and there's factions, and it's bad.
I guess the reason why people would care about Devil's Third is that it's from Itagaki, from Team Ninja, who did Dead or Alive Ninja Gaiden. So some of the best action games ever made was made by this guy. It was originally supposed to be a THQ game before THQ went under, and then Nintendo decided to fund it. I don't know why.
Silly Nintendo.
Yeah, they're just throwing their money away on this one.
Shame on you, Nintendo.
Yep.
I mean, to be fair, we always complain about these games that come out too early with all the bugs in them and stuff.
Sure.
And I thought this with Deus Ex, too. You know, that's been delayed, obviously. And I said, you know what? If they go back and make a better game, I'm all for that. If it becomes a Duke Nukem situation, head scratcher. And Fable Legends seems to be kind of on this.
Yeah, so Microsoft basically promised a beta by the end of 2015, and they quietly pushed it back into 2016. No one really understands what the game entails yet, what we're expecting, what sort of pricing it's going
to
have.
It's free to play.
Do we know what they've said?
Yeah, they've said that. So it's free to play on PC and Xbox One. Basically, one side is like an evil mastermind
Is it like Evolve? Like one character is the bad guy versus four heroes?
Yes, but the bad guy actually like plants enemies for the heroes.
It's like you're more of an. Does it get to an RTS point
villain? Yes, while like the heroes are more just third person action.
I think that's a really good way to do a 4-on-1 game like that. Well, I think that is it for news. Yeah. I did just want to do a shout out because we have some fantastic movies coming, and there are some trailers that released the last couple weeks. First off, X-Men Apocalypse looks amazing. Star Trek Beyond looks amazing. Independence Day Resurgence looks amazing. Thoughts, Tom?
Your thoughts were incredible.
Right?
This looks amazing.
I'm sorry. They were amazing.
Yeah.
They were very deep and well-formed and thought out.
You know, I don't know if I'm liking that Star Trek trailer too much. Because
it's exciting.
It's Fast and the Furious. Because it is from that director. But
I agree.
It's also not.
The song is a weird song.
No, it's not.
To make it.
Because you don't remember, the first movie. It was
it
a shout out to the first movie.
Sure. I get that.
But
then
it's fine.
Still a poor choice.
One of the writers has come out to say that trailer is not indicative of what's actually in the movie. Simon Pegg, he plays Scotty in the movie. He's actually
means it was a good
partnered
trailer.
In writing the script. He said that there's a lot more to the movie with the characters, and it's not all action like the trailer showed.
It almost looked like it gave away the whole movie. Like, so some people pieced together by Tom staring at me really weirdly and
seductively.
I think it was Kotaku. Well, a lot of the sites do this now, but they do a play-by-play of everything that happens. And some Star Wars fans even tried to place the trailer in chronological order to guess what's going to happen in the movie, I guess.
When did Kirk have those goggles?
But but basically, yeah, it looks like you know everything except who Idris Elba's playing. So
he's in that?
He is the main villain.
So why did they not show him in the entire trailer?
I think he was the big dude, the big alien man. I'm sure it's like CGI and voice.
He is a big
dude. I don't know that he's going to actually play himself. Yeah. Like, apparently Eric Bana played the villain
there,
in the first one. And
yeah.
I had no idea that was him.
Yeah, it's
it was
Nero.
So dolled up. But yeah, no, I'm excited. They said they're going to ignore everything in from Star Trek Into Darkness. They're just going to pretend it never happened. So that's good news.
They just acknowledge it's bad.
Yeah, even Abrams came out and he's like, yeah, that wasn't what I was shooting for. So, but anyways, Independence Day Resurgence. I loved Independence Day as a kid.
Yeah,
super pumped for this. Will Smith isn't coming back because he, for some reason, didn't want to. So they made a website.
Concussion.
They made a website and killed off his character.
Yeah.
What?
And yeah, they were his character was killed when he was
test piloting the new jets. Yeah.
Yep.
So basically, they made a website that kind of bridged the history between the first Independence Day and the sequel series that they're going to do. And because he wasn't interested, they're like, well, he just died in a test crash. So
nice.
But yeah.
Bill Pullman's still there.
Yeah, he's back. So that'll be good.
They played a speech, which just makes everything the best.
Yep.
Sweet.
And yeah, it's I'm good. I'm excited.
That new Harry Potter trailer dropped this week, too.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Yep. This Harry Potter in America. Super pumped. It's not Harry Potter himself, but was it?
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie. I actually read the little book that this is based
off of. Is it? How is it?
I mean, it's actually not a storyline at all. They're completely making up this storyline.
But they're
with J.K. Rowling's permission and everything. But
is
basically,
it Scamander?
It's like a list of animals and what they do.
Okay.
She made up all these creatures and what their purpose
and
is in the world.
Now
and
they're kind of loose in New York.
General idea, like. I think. Yeah.
Which,
I mean,
they didn't show much in the trailer.
They didn't show much in the trailer, and they haven't released a whole lot on what the storyline is actually going to be. But the trailer looks pretty good.
Yeah. I'm always down for more Harry Potter.
You know this pissed off Henry so much that we started talking about
Tom, don't worry. I got this for you. Don't worry, listeners. We're still a video game podcast, so we're going to smoothly transition into what we've been playing. Tom, what have you been playing?
So smooth. I have been playing Fallout. I love that game. I do. The issue I have, and I told you about this, Max, I'm at a point where I can't beat like the big bosses, so I literally just cruise around, get to the point where like there's a giant Mire Lurk or whatever, and then go leave and go somewhere else.
Have you been not leveling up and doing side quests and stuff, or what's the issue?
I've been doing side quests because I really haven't touched the main storyline. I don't want to spoil anything, but since the first couple levels. So these are kind of side quests. I guess the Minuteman one isn't, but I went to the farms thing and like... Actually, that part wasn't bad, but it was like the satellite dish or something. There was like 700 super mutants cruising around, and I was like, I can't. So does like a power suit make that big of a difference where I could maybe beat these guys?
That is the point of the power suit. I haven't
touched my power suit in like 20 hours. Dude.
Yeah, you should do that. Do you have those fusion cores for it?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to collect. Okay. So I finally have like 8 of those.
Just
so I can
grab your mini gun.
You'll be fine. That's exactly what you need to do.
Oh, yeah. So that solved my problem. And I'm sure a lot of other people's problems had the same issue as me.
So I guess some guy spent some time mapping out the entire underwater section of Fallout. And there's actually a power armor suit under there. There's a sunken ship full of cat pictures. And there's just a bunch of goofy little...
is that
Easter eggs and things
the
like
glowing
that.
Sea that I hear about?
No, the glowing sea is not actually a sea.
Okay,
it's the lower left area of the map. Okay. They just call it, it's a very irradiated area.
Okay,
but really cool though.
Are you guys still? You guys are still playing it?
Yeah,
I haven't touched it since the first week.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
I played 25 hours, which is good
for
me.
I played like 10
hours.
Yeah,
for Tom,
23,
like a
actually.
Recent game.
That... Even Callie was impressed. I saw that. You were impressed. Admit it.
Knowing your attention span, that's actually
impressive. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, my attention span is big things coming at me. I'm done with this game.
you stick with it, Tom. You're doing good, buddy.
I'm hanging in there.
Proud of you.
The other one is you guys talked about Rayman Legends, and I remember you played this on your PC like back when we were.
Yeah,
I
have the Steam version, and then it came out. Xbox One had the freebie on Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, I
what
kinda,
do you think?
I got back into it. I do like it. I kind of wish, you know, I don't play a ton of platformers, but that's one I actually used to play. It was like a Game Boy game. I can't remember way back when, maybe Rayman Advance or something.
Yeah, it's been around since the original PlayStation, right?
Yeah, and it was PlayStation exclusive for a while or something. It wasn't an N64 game for sure. So
I don't believe so. The second one was.
Okay.
Not the first one.
Yeah, so I mean, I do. I mean, it's you can tell it's kind of catered to kids, but you can play it as an adult and feel good about yourself.
No, it's just a good challenging platformer that you can play with other people.
Yeah, I am kind of curious. It does like kind of keep you going, or do you feel like you're kind of playing the same game after a while?
It keeps you going. They change up the levels.
Yeah, I would say
enough.
That every environment or so think of it like Mario, where you have your overworld and then similar levels within each overworld. I would say that each level is significantly different from the next in the overworld, and then each overworld is very different. And it's cool because they give you like the musical at the end of each segment, and then also. I don't know how much of the content Xbox gave out. I think it was DLC, but there's a thing called Back to Origins, and you get a bunch of levels from the original games.
I think you just unlock that.
Is that how
it
is? Okay, I thought maybe there was some DLC, but it's a ton of additional levels, and the game is chock full of content and characters and fun things to do. And the drop in, drop out play is really good because that's how we played it. So
how much time have you invested into it? I mean, a lot
during that particular play session. I would say probably 12 plus hours. And I haven't even touched the Back to Origins content.
Yeah.
The musical levels are very effective to keep you playing.
Yeah.
They give you nothing, basically, except for that level, and it's so rewarding.
That's awesome.
They're just so well done. But it's a very cute game. They go into so much detail with the characters, just their mannerisms and actions. And
you get so many of them so easily.
That's kind of fun, too. You kind of get sick of Rayman every once in a while and want to play as someone else, too. Yeah. And then I've played a little bit of Tomb Raider, but I haven't touched that much. It's really been Fallout and Hearthstone, of course.
Yeah.
The last one is I'm still playing that Dragon Age DLC, and I think I'm on the final fight. I haven't beat Trespasser.
I think we're going to have to go back to that podcast and see if you're...
Did I say that? I say dumb stuff all the time. I literally butchered every transition in this podcast.
I don't think there was a single transition, Tom.
Hey, I was just going to drop the name, roll with it. You guys messed that up.
Henry can't come back soon enough.
I know. Hey, we miss you, Henry. You guys got any...
a little sleeper release, SteamWorld Heist came out.
Yeah.
So I played SteamWorld Dig. I bought it for my 3DS, and so that's the system I chose to stick with. It's funny because SteamWorld Heist is out for everything except PC. if you have any 3DS, Wii U, PlayStation, Xbox, it's even on the Vita and Mac. If you have those systems, it's only like $20. Get it. It's very fun. So SteamWorld Dig was a game that was kind of a Minecraft cousin, very distant from crafting anything, but you would basically work from the surface all the way down to the core of the planet, and you play as these steam-operated robots, and you would get water and upgrade your tools and weapons. And so now, basically, they dug the Earth so much that it fractured, and everyone had to move into space. So you play a space pirate with a gun much like Mal from Firefly, and it's kind of like a Western set in space, and you're these robots going on raids and breaking other ships, and it's turn-based, but it's very fast turn-based. So like once you move a character, you can immediately switch to another one while that character is still finishing their action. So the gameplay, it's not stop and go. It's very fluid. And another cool twist is it's not really dice rolling when you tell them to attack someone. You actually aim your weapon and choose when to shoot it. And you can do melee and you can level up your characters. They all have special abilities. You can find a bunch of loot and different weapons and costumes and outfits. And it's a pretty rich, very good-looking game. So...
I'm going to have to pick that up for my trip next week.
Highly recommend it.
What do you got, John?
I've been playing more Xenoblade. That's really all that I've played outside of like downloading random games on my phone.
Is it holding up for you?
It is. And I feel like I could probably explain it a little bit better now. So the way I see it, it's like a Japanese interpretation of something like Dragon Age Inquisition. So you've got your four-person party. You're going out into the open world, getting quests. I found out that there are some multiplayer aspects to it. Like, you can join a crew of, like, 32 people and take down, like, giant monsters together if you want to. The world's just absolutely huge. I'm still in... I think I just got to the second continent, and I'm about 15 hours in.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff to do. I think it's one of the best games of the year so far.
Really?
Maybe I'm in, like, still that honeymoon phase, but, like... Every night I just go back to it, just turn on the Wii U, and then just sit back and play a couple hours of it and just get kind of lost.
I feel like there's been a couple games with honeymoon phases that quickly wore off. Like, everyone was so enamored with The Witcher, and then they realized how full of content. Like, that is quality content, though. You don't get sick of it so much as just feel drained after a while. But, I mean, when Mad Max came out, and I'm starting to feel the same way, but Henry absolutely loved the game, had nothing but good things to say, and was saying how it was a sleeper game of the year. And then he said later that, I think the last podcast, that it felt like it was unfinished and wasn't really full of content. And then same thing with Metal Gear Solid. There was a bunch of repetitive quests near the end, and people got sick of it, and a lot of people haven't beaten the game. And it sounds like we're getting all these big AAA titles coming out that are just unfinished. And it's, you know, shoot for a shorter game and give us a complete product.
Yeah. Well, like, for this one, I could see how people could get bored with the repetition of the combat, but you can choose from, like, oh, how many are there? There's, like, 18 different classes for your character, and depending on, like, what your class is and what all of your companions' classes are, like, combat will be different. You could also change, like, what your character, if you guys kind of remember me talking about this last week, like, your characters will yell stuff at each other.
Yeah.
But you can customize, like, if you need to be healed at a certain point, like, you can set up which characters are going to be able to heal you, or, like, what they need to say to get you to do things. I don't know. It's this weird, complex combat system that I'm really enjoying. It took me, like, 8 hours to figure it out, which is not a great thing, I guess. But, like, the game doesn't do well to explain itself.
Is it a console seller? Like, would you buy a
no,
Wii U?
Probably not. Like, I really like it, but the obvious console seller for the Wii U now is Mario Maker.
Do you still play it?
Mario Maker?
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
I'll go back to it.
I heard you can't save. There's no checkpoint saves, right? So people
there are
like,
now.
Okay.
Yeah, they added those in.
Okay.
So.
With The Witcher, do you guys still play it, or is that kind of a, like, it's too overwhelming at this point?
No, I still play it. I'm kind of in the same boat as Henry, that when I go back to it, I kind of want to do a fresh start. Mm-hmm. I'm on the fence about that, though, because of how far into it I am. But it's such a good game. There's so many different choices you can make with literally each quest that it's honestly, you don't feel like you're treading the same ground over and over again.
Okay.
But no, it is a game that you for sure want to play someday, Tom. It's one of the richest, like, they put a ton of love and effort into it, and it's one of the best, largest open world games I've ever played.
I'll tap into it. I'm making progress on Fallout 4, and you guys are proud of me.
Yeah.
I know you're joking. You're proud
of
me
right
now.
I'm super proud of you.
And I do, and it's the one thing I said this.
We just got so sick of hearing about how you were playing Fallout Vegas and then never finished it.
No, Fallout Vegas, and then I played, the mistake I made too was I played, which I loved Dragon Age Inquisition, but I played it for so long. Like, I literally, it took me so long because I just stopped playing at one point for a little bit. I'm making my way through that. And Tomb Raider is nice that you can literally, like, that, you know, it's a 15-minute product. I've heard the storyline. Obviously, don't give anything away, but it's mediocre.
Yeah. It's not what
did you like the first one? Like, Tomb Raider 2013?
The storyline or just the game in general?
Well, I thought they did a good job of the characters. I don't know if the storyline was
the story
great,
wasn't great.
Yeah.
But I think it's just fun to play.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard. So that's occasionally a good deal. Anything else? Callie, you playing any big games right now?
Not really.
Hearthstone. That's a positive.
That's probably in the last, like, month and a half.
Yeah.
What kind of deck do you have?
How many hours do you think you've sunk into that since you were introduced?
I don't even know. It's super addicting.
Yeah.
It, like, I was, within the first, like, hour of playing that game, I was completely hooked.
Yeah.
She's pretty late to the game. I mean, just the last month or
correct.
Two. And she's got a ton of the cards, has formidable decks.
Yes. Beat Max multiple times.
Good. Everyone beats Max, though.
Yeah. I'm pretty stuck on the latest solo, though.
Oh, are you playing the League of Explorers stuff? Okay.
I'm stuck on Rafan and cannot, for the life of me, get past it. And I refuse.
The first
encounter because there's
them?
Two, right?
Yeah, where he steals your deck.
I mean, I'm assuming there's two. I can't tell yet. But, yeah. And I refuse at this point to look up any of the, I guess, technically not cheats, any of the theories on how to
give in.
Yes.
Give in.
I'll probably break at some point and do it. But yeah, no, it's a very addicting game. It has gotten me to pay for some of the microtransactions.
Wow.
And, yeah.
Yeah. She invested in the single player.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah, two of the three so far.
Okay, I did not. I'm on one where you can't kill that lady, the guy's wife or whatever, and I keep on forgetting. See, this is the problem with my
game. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You shouldn't kill anybody's wife, Tom.
No.
We're talking about the same game.
Yeah, no, we're playing the. You guys have not played this. I'll look it up, and I'll talk about it in the next show. But it is a
single player. Are you talking about
one of the single
player wings? Yeah. The Curse of Naxxramas?
The one I haven't done.
Is it Black Rock Mountain?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so. And,
oh, are you talking about the female dragon you have to kill? And
no.
Then you get
there's some guy with his wife, and his wife is a card, and you can't kill it, and he has a 30... I'm not kidding.
I think this is a dream, Tom.
this is 100%.
This
I'm looking
never
this up.
Happened.
I'm looking
married
this up.
To a card.
No, he has a skill that he can hit you 30 damage if you, like, kill his wife. And so,
it's definitely not a wife, though. I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about, but I...
Tom just assumes that whenever a man and woman are in the same room, they're married.
It's like some weird harpy thing or something. Like.
Yeah, no, it's a lady. I'm 100% sure. I'm showing you guys...
all the harpies are ladies.
That, oh, you guys are a mess, dude. And honestly, I just...
Basically... Tom, what does that even mean?
So basically, you can't do any damage to this one
card.
Yeah, I do remember that being
and I keep
one,
on damaging it by accident. So and it'll attack you, too. Like, what the hell, card?
So you can't use any of your, like,
Tom,
AoE cards or anything like that?
If I remember right, it only attacks taunts, so you just have to make a deck without taunts.
Yeah, and I don't want to recreate a deck. That's
okay,
a pain in the ass.
Tom.
Oh, well, that, yeah. So
that's like,
that is the point, and it is a little frustrating.
I resisted for so long.
Yeah. The point of the single player is you have to keep experimenting with decks and use all the cards.
It's a puzzle.
Disposal. Right.
Yeah. I do
it's
not like puzzles.
You to use different decks.
It's forced
you're,
me to
you're
think.
Playing the wrong game.
It's terrible. We're gonna play some Hearthstone later. We'll have to get on that. I don't know. The one other thing I want to mention is Grand Theft Auto. The issue with this game takes like 6 years to load. But
they do
have an update,
yeah.
Which I'm pretty excited about. And Max, we're playing this. I'm just telling you this right now.
Have you tried it yet, Tom?
I haven't yet.
So basically, and we touched on it last week, but there's some more details out. But, it did launch now, right?
The 15th.
The high-res mod
launched 2 days
ago. Oh, I'm sorry, not the high-res. The, it's like some sort of gangsters pack. Well, Tom, why don't you look it up while I mention this?
Yeah.
I've still been playing Just Cause 3. Really like it. I do like how you gain some more... control over your character as far as like the aiming in. The developers came out and talked about how they intentionally didn't put a sprint button in and things like that because you're supposed to be in the air and just constantly on the move. And it is a good way of forcing.
I never really missed the sprint button.
No, I mean, there's a couple of times where you just can't seem to get off the ground and it'd be like, oh, it'd be nice if I could just run from the situation for 10 seconds and collect your breath. But I can see how the world is so vast that you just kind of lose that drive to keep doing the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. And like I said, one of the earlier podcasts, it's just kind of you have to be self-motivated and force yourself to switch up what you're doing.
Yep.
But there is a big patch coming out to all the platforms, and it's going to fix the ridiculous load times as well as some of the frame.
Did they say how big of a difference it's going to be?
They didn't, and I feel like because they didn't, they're hedging their bets, but... anything is better than what we have.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Absolutely.
That honestly has been my biggest hesitation in playing more of it over other things because it's just so you wait so long to do the simplest things. Like if you're going to retry a challenge that is on a closed course, it should be instantaneous when you restart that. Something else, Tom, did you get GTA up?
Yeah, it's
all right, really really quick. What is that game? Batman Arkham Knight. Fire that back up. There's a bunch of DLC content that came out in November and December.
They finally started getting back to it.
And in December, they're going to come out with the Season of Infamy, is I believe what it's called, and it's all the villains are coming back, and it's going to be after the main story, and I don't know if you're playing as Batman or what's going on, but there's going to be
Gordon.
Ra's al Ghul. Playing as Gordon would be cool.
That would be he's like a robot Batman
right?
now.
I know. It's sweet. And then Mr. Freeze is coming back, which would be cool if it's kind of reminiscent of the...
Arkham City?
No, what was the one, the offshoot game? Arkham
Origins?
If it was reminiscent of that DLC. Sure. But yeah, no, it should be cool that they're still supporting that and they finally fixed everything more or less and that they're going to have hopefully some closure to the cliffhanger.
Yeah, so I had this article up, and I was just having some issues reading. But it was basically Grand Theft Auto Online Executives and Criminals. I think that's what it's called. And it's 10 stilt houses that are for sale around Vinewood Hills, which we kind of talked about this, Max, when it first came out. It'd be cool to buy a house like in that
area. I like how you can finally have a crew roll with you. Like you can get an armored limo with everyone in it and have them have a machine gun on top. And
sounds like a wedding I went to once.
Right? Every wedding Tom's ever been to.
Absolutely.
I also like the yacht thing. But so now they've always had microtransactions. But now, one of them that just got posted, you can spend, I think, around $30-some and you get $8 million in-game cash. But when you think about it, that's not that much money.
Because
there's, like,
a
single vehicle
that
can cost that much. And I think there's vehicles that cost more than that last time I checked. But that yacht, I want to know how much that's going for. Because that's going to be a huge...
$8 million real dollars.
Yeah, microtransaction mover.
Yeah, so 3 custom apartments for sale, 10 new cars, sorry, 2 new helicopters, 2 new weapons, Magnum revolver and a switchblade. And then you can purchase a 5th garage or apartment, and new clothing and accessories. They do a good job with these updates.
Sorry, finish.
Well, and I was going to say new game modes and stuff like that. I mean, they have added to this game a lot. You know, you just wish it didn't take so long to load.
Yeah. Well, the loading is one issue. I think they've done a fantastic game with post-launch support, or a fantastic job with post-launch support for the game. But my biggest turnoff is that every time something is coming out, like Heist or this new expansion, and I think, like, oh, that's cool, it'll get me back into the game. I get back into the game, and I realize how hard it is to earn money and how much stuff there is. It's just overwhelming, and you have to invest so much time online to do it, to earn enough money to buy these things or use this content, because it's kind of behind a paywall with the microtransactions. The other thing is the queues, loading queues and stuff for online
matches.
They haven't
improved.
And Heist, it's
buggy
to get somebody, like, the same group of people together and successfully complete that. I feel like it's very hard to play the game as it was meant to.
Well, not only that, but, like, I remember we did a heist, got the whole group together, and then at the end, like, we had it completed, and all we had to do was, like, drive to a spot or something, and it crashed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We stopped playing, because that was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was so much effort to get everyone together at the same time and then get into the loading screen or the queue without it crashing. Because we tried multiple times, and then it finally worked, and we're like, oh, we're home free, and then not quite.
So would you rather have this or Destiny, which Destiny seems to, like, be, like, fleecing you right now, but it's easy to load, like, easy to get in the game. You know, like, I don't know, barrier to entry is not
a sign. I just don't understand how so many games can have fantastic matchmaking, and Grand Theft Auto is just not.
I feel like the Grand Theft Auto stuff is more disposable.
What do you mean?
I mean, you're buying money that you're spending in the game, but can't you lose those items that you purchase?
More or less. I know vehicles, you can get insurance, and I think I don't know quite what the insurance details are. Every time I thought I was never going to get my vehicle back, I called the number, and then they had an option for it.
Yeah.
So I think they've fixed that, but you still have to use money to get it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just, it's getting too focused on microtransactions for me.
Yeah. So that's a bummer. Any final kind of thoughts here? I've done enough dumb stuff. I need to get off the air.
No. Henry would probably appreciate that.
Yeah, Henry, we miss you. Please come back. I hope you enjoyed the movie. We'll probably talk about it.
Next week we'll talk about Star Wars a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Spoiler-free, or maybe we can save the spoilers.
I don't think I'll be here for that. So
that's right.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and what are we going to do? We should probably do a preview of kind of next year, but we may do that in January. With the holidays coming up, we can use the Twitter feed, I guess.
I'm sure we'll, some games we're looking forward to.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll talk about it in the coming week or so. I think there's still 2 podcasts left in the year.
Yeah.
Because, there's still a week after Christmas.
Yeah.
No, we got 2 left.
So, we'll probably talk about what we're doing for those last couple ones. But
yeah, exactly. So, I don't know.
Well,
I think
stay tuned. And, Tom, you think you can handle the outro smoothly?
Do
you need a transition or what?
Guys know I cannot transition worth a damn.
So, thank you for listening to Procedurally Generated. You can find us on Twitter at @PG_show. You can also follow us on iTunes and on Audioboom. At Procedurally Generated, or also just look for 105 The Ticket Video Game Podcast, because you can still find it under that. Also, if you have any questions for us, is it procedurallygeneratedshow@gmail.com?
Yes.
Okay. Send us your questions, concerns, comments, all that kind of stuff.
Show. Either way, just send it to both emails.
Or just tweet at us.
Just find us.
Just like literally on the street.
It's a challenge.
Until next week. How does
I'll finish up here, and I'll finish up with a quick bit of news. We are going to try to launch coldomaha.com in January.
Ooh.
We'll keep you guys posted on that. Until then, thanks as always, and game on.